Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Hysteria Radio. With Hysteria Radio, we're going to be talking about... You know what? I already screwed up.
Hey, Joe, I was the one unplugging, so you're all good.
Okay, we're going to try that one more time. Today, and I also want to welcome our first guest, Ann Taylor, who is the founder and CEO of Scandic Health, which has a product called Music Cure. And I'm going to let Ann introduce herself and give us a little background of the product. Hey, Ann, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Joe.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. I'm so honored that I get to be invited into your space here to talk about Music Cure and to talk about mental health. I am a Danish nurse. I took my education in Denmark, came to America in 99. And then around 7 years ago, my daughter was very, very ill with anxiety and depression. And my mother introduced me to Music Cure.
Okay.
And I, to give you a background on what Music Cure is, Music Cure is actually based on the last 18 years of medical research. And we can probably talk about it a little bit later. But so what happened for us as a family was that everything just really, really stopped when my daughter was so ill. I resigned my job as a nurse at the hospital, and we just had to take one step at a time and take care of each other. And then I started playing Music Cure, and I just started seeing how it helped my daughter, but also how it helped the rest of us in our family. So from that experience, I started using it every day. We used it in everything that we did around the house. And then when I went back to work, I started using it with my patients, and I started seeing the same kind of healing that took place in our house. I started seeing that with my patients.
Wow.
And then within like a year, I actually decided to take the step and start Scandic Health because I felt so empowered to share this experience with other people. And at that time, I didn't know how many other families there were suffering just like ours.
Yeah.
But now I've learned that there are many, many other families that were in the same and are in the same position that we were in. And so that's kind of like the spot where I come from.
So how long have people been using Music Cure for music therapy and art therapy?
You know what? It actually started 18 years ago in the ICU at the Copenhagen University Hospital. There was a pioneer ICU intensive doctor who wanted to bring the arts into the very sterile, critical environment of an ICU. And not only did he bring art on the walls, but he asked a Danish composer, his name is Niels Eyre. He played for the Danish Symphony Orchestra for 25 years and had never anything to do with the medical world. So the doctor asked him, can you try to compose a little bit of music that we can use for the patients in the ICU? And then he started doing research. And then based on that first composition, they just expanded it. And there started to be other scientists that wanted to do research using Music Cure. And every time a new result came back, the composer took the results and composed the music based on the results that came back. One of the first things that came back to them was that they found out that the patients really benefited from a musical rhythm around 60 to 80 beats per minute, because that's your relaxed heart rate.
Yeah, yeah.
So he really composed all his music based on that, and that was where it started. And it very fast spread from the ICU to all the different departments of the hospital and then into what do we call outpatient units. And so it went from an ICU all the way around to all the departments in the hospital, because they very fast found out that it doesn't matter what your disease is, but we all need something to calm our minds because the head is connected to the body. So it doesn't matter where the symptoms are. We need to find some kind of inner peace and inner calmness.
Yeah. And you know, what's so interesting to me is that that sounds a lot like the story of mindfulness-based stress reduction, which is meditation that's taught to patients that were in extreme pain. And I think that that started up in like the 70s or 80s. And so it sounds like at around the same time, they were finding that breathing and music actually helped just as well as medication to relieve some of the pain that the people were having without having side effects or, you know, putting somebody on a controlled substance that they might be dependent or addicted to after.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you go back to when mankind first came around, there was also music. There's always been that rhythm. You know, our primeval beat is our heartbeat. And so it's always been there. And I think maybe just for many, many years, we have neglected to bring that into healthcare and into taking care of ourselves. Florence Nightingale, who's like the guru of nurses, she also talked about the healing power of music. There's so much documentation that how it really, really helps you and how it calms you. And in regards to my experience with mental health, I saw, especially at nighttime when my daughter was going to sleep, the way her mind was just so busy that it was so hard for her to find that relaxation spot where you start to fall asleep.
Yeah.
She literally would tell me that it felt like a freeway with tons of traffic and her thoughts were just going, going, going.
Yeah, I could totally relate to that.
And as a parent, when you see that, then I started having the busy traffic too, because there's this connection and you always want to try to provide your child with the best care and you want to try to provide calmness. So what happened for us was that when we played the Music Cure, it not only helped her, but it also helped me and my husband and my other daughter. So we actually created, without really being aware of it, we actually created a calm environment in our whole house. So it affected all of us. Because the thing is, we all feed off each other's energy.
Yeah.
And I had this conversation the other day with another person who said to me, how do I play the music? Do I tell my child to, now you have to listen to it or sit down? I just play it in the background so nobody feels forced to and nobody feels, now you have to get control of your thoughts. But
right.
What automatically happens is that when this slow rhythm of 60 to 80 beats starts coming in, and when you start to hear that, your body adjusts to the rhythm and slowly you will feel, actually without even telling somebody to take a deep breath, that mindfulness breathing of slowing your heart rate down, slowing your breathing down,
yes,
slowing that traffic down up in your head. And then it's so much easier to talk about what was it maybe that made you very anxious, or what's the next step ahead, or let's get ready for bed, or let's handle the homework that's ahead of us, or whatever the situation is. But I felt that when I was wound up because I was worried about her, I was of no help.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really, really set a mood. And even to this day, 7 years later, we use Music Cure every day.
That's amazing. It sounds very meditative and it keeps you present. It keeps you from worrying about, you know, what happened during the day and what you need to do tomorrow. And I think that that's a big problem in our society, is that everybody regrets what they did yesterday and can't wait to get till tomorrow, but they're scared to death to face tomorrow. So it's like, what can we do to keep us here and now, you know, in addition to therapy, in addition to medication? We're not going to sit here and tell everybody, all of our listeners, you know, stop going to therapy and stop taking your meds. That's not the answer. But there are things you can do in conjunction with that that can really help you get through your day. And I started using Music Cure a couple of weeks ago, and I can tell you that I was doing work and I've been really stressed out working on the computer more than I ever like to work on the computer. With the bipolar, I try and be as present as possible and get out into nature and communicate with people in person, just because the computer, I feel like with the ads and articles, can lead you in so many different directions that I don't need to be led in with bipolar. So, I sat down, turned on Music Cure while I was doing work on the computer, and I immediately felt some of the weight lifted off my shoulders, and I was able to calm down and get my work done. And I was able to get my work done in a way that I wasn't stressed out and forcing it. You know, I was just allowing my work. It felt more natural. I felt more creative. And I've been having a wonderful experience with Music Cure, and that's why I needed to have you on today.
So. I'm so, so glad to hear that, Joe. I want to say back to what you were saying before, that this is not instead of therapy. It's very important to know Music Cure is like a co-therapy. It's not instead of therapy. It's not instead of medication. We have done all of that too. We've also done therapy. We've done medication. We've done psychiatric hospitals. Uh-huh. But it's together with it. It's kind of like, I mean... It's the whole holistic all around. You can't do a half circle. You have to do full circle.
Yeah.
And the body and the mind is connected to the body. I don't know who decided to separate those two things.
Right.
And when it's connected, it means that you have to cover everything. And it is so important. If you do not have a calm mind, if you don't feel calm inside, it doesn't matter how great your therapist is, doesn't matter how little stress you try to have around you, you have to have a calm mind. Because otherwise you're going to have traffic jams, right? We have stoplights on the road, because otherwise there would be traffic jams and we would have accidents. The same happens inside our minds. And I think that's the power of Music Cure. All I'm really here to do is to really shine the light, because I felt so inspired and I saw what it did for our family. I see what it does every day and what it does for me as a parent. I want to be a voice for mental health, because I know how bad that pain is, and nobody on the outside world can see the pain, because you're not walking with walkers, you don't have crutches on, you don't have a Band-Aid.
Right.
So you don't get the same kind of attention. And I just feel that as a nurse and as a mom, it's my duty. I have to show what it did for us as a family and what it does every day. And I really have gotten to the point where I believe that Music Cure, together with the therapy and the help that we got from the medical team, actually came kind of like a lifeline. I know it can sound a little bit corny, but it was my lifeline from Denmark came and brought me and my family and my daughter back to life where we're supposed to be, and feel life in the good ways. And then when you get the lows, then it's like, okay, well, I have my tool. I know what to do. And then the pain doesn't feel as bad.
Well, I could think about when I was in the hospital and how amazing that would have been to have on in the room, or, you know, or have in the common room, like a little booth with Music Cure, and just have a place where I could get away. Because the problem with a lot of mental hospitals and rehabilitation centers are that there's so much commotion going on. There's nurses walking around. There's guards walking around. There's doctors knocking on your door, if you even get to see a doctor at most places. So it would have been nice to have a little place where I could get away from all that, because I thought the whole point of a hospital was to heal, not to have people checking my levels every hour, interrupting my naps when they say you need to sleep more, but we need to wake you up to make sure you're okay. There's so much confusion and contradiction going on in the hospitals, and that we want to heal you, but we're going to give you so many meds so you don't cause any trouble. And it's like, well, maybe if we got some music in there, maybe we could get people to relax a little bit and and focus on what they needed to focus on rather than having all these other distractions. And I think that's where Music Cure would really come in handy is in the hospital itself.
Absolutely. And as you know, too, you know, noise is not healing. Actually, the World Health Organization did a research project where they found out that the noise level in most hospital settings is as loud as if somebody had a chainsaw going off right next to your ear. Now, try to sleep, try to relax, try to reduce your anxiety by a chainsaw going off. So we are above the limit of noise that the World Health Organization recommends. And then you add in, like you said, the medications, and we all know that we have to sleep. We all know that sleep is medication, that you have to have a good amount of around 7 to 8 hours of restorative sleep.
Yeah.
But then you increase the noise level and you picture the chainsaw and, like you said, the doors opening and closing and everybody else making noise, then that does not really make for a healing environment.
Yeah, yeah. And that's actually something that really used to bother me, because I suffered with paranoia and racing thoughts when I was in the hospital. And then you'd have somebody constantly opening your door. And it's like, it's like, well, I'm already paranoid. Like, you're not making this any better. And it just always really confused me. And I know that they need to make sure you're okay, but maybe it was a little too often. And maybe if you're somebody that suffers with insomnia, they should let you get that extra hour or two during the day. And but to be able to walk around, like if I was allowed to have headphones,
yes, that's the thing,
and have the Music Cure playing and look at the nature scenes, and I could tell you the nature scene with the sunrise in the Music Cure is and with Scandic Health is one of the most amazing things. You know, it's one of the most meditative, relaxing things that I've ever seen and listened to in my life.
You know, so that's so funny you say that. A couple of weeks ago, my younger daughter was a little bit quite stressed out. It was time for her to start school. That always increases kids' anxiety level once you have had a nice relaxing summer with not so many stressors.
Yeah.
And she normally only really prefers to listen to the audio library of Music Cure, but we also have a video library, like you explained. Mm-hmm. And so we started watching the video library. And it was a part where it was different deers out in a big park. It's filmed a little bit north of Copenhagen. I get a little homesick every time I see it. But, but as she's watching the deer, I just noticed how her breathing started coming down. She, in the end, she asked, can I just have the iPad next to the bed when I'm going to sleep? Because I just like to watch the video. And she just laid there, watched it for maybe like 10 minutes. And then she fell asleep. And then the next day I said to her, so what was the difference between watching the video and that you normally listen just to the audio? She goes, I just felt so busy in my head that it was nice to concentrate on watching the pictures.
That's awesome.
And I just thought that was quite powerful. And then on top of the video library, we also have a we have an 8-hour sleep program. So that's not a video version, but it's a 8-hour program that starts with a 15 minutes of a sunset where you listen to the Music Cure music, and it starts off around the 80 beats per minute, like your relaxed heart rate. And then it actually goes down to around 50 beats per minute, because that's your heart rate when you're asleep.
Yeah.
For 7.5 hours, you're listening to synchronized waves that are designed in such a way that each wave runs around the 50 beats. And then the last 15 minutes, the music slowly starts coming into play, and it's like a musical sunrise, and then you wake up.
That is unbelievable. You explained this to me, and now I need to try the sleep one. All summer I've been using an air conditioner, and that just that gets me by. But now that you've explained this, because I got a Fitbit about a year ago now, mm-hmm. and I've been tracking my sleep, you know, my calories, my walking, mm-hmm. everything you could track, you know, now just from this little watch. But I'm sure it's not new. I'm sure for a while now, I'm just new to this. Anyway, I look at my beats per minute when I'm sleeping, and I didn't realize how slow it gets. I had no idea that it was like, mine's usually mid 40s to lower 50s. And I was like, wow, I never thought that the heart rate ever went that low. But that might be because when I was in high school and college, mine was usually at around 110 or 120.
Oh, gosh.
From all the stress. And I was on heart medications. I was on anxiety medications. And if I had only known at the time that this could help, that would really save a lot. So it's just amazing. You know, I just hope that the kids that are using all the technology right now and the chat snap and the book face and all that stuff, I just hope that they start switching to apps and websites and programs that could actually improve their health rather than use them and, you know, lead them off.
I do too, Joe. And, you know, it's one of the things that they talk a lot about in, especially in preteens and high schoolers and early college kids too, is that they just keep telling them, oh, you need to sleep, but they're not giving them tools on how to sleep.
Yes.
And there's been so much research out where they've proven that the kids that start school way too early, so they, when they come home from school, then they end up taking a nap or they have sports and they sit and do homework till way late. So they actually do not get the 8 to 10 hours, depending on what age group they're in, of sleep that they really need. And when you don't get proper sleep, it's like trying to drive a car with no gas. Eventually, your car is going to break down. I think, you know, a lot of people, as a joke, they'll just say, oh, you can sleep when you get older. No, you can't.
Right, right.
You have to sleep now. And I think for mental health, it goes hand in hand with sleep.
Yeah.
Because there's a reason why they use sleep deprivation as torture. So you're actually torturing your poor mind and your body by not getting enough sleep. And a lot of the sleep medications will just make you very drowsy in the morning or very foggy, and then you need something to wake you up. And instead of training your body to really get some awesome good sleep. And I mean, I'm the first one to tell you, it does not work every day at our house either, but at least it's something that we're working very hard at, and I'm really focusing on it, and I'm really trying to take the phones and the TV away an hour before they go to bed, and the same on the weekends. And
Because it's really, I love what you're doing, because you can't tell a teen you need to do this.
No,
you just can't do it, but you're completely leading by example. You and your family, you're saying this works for us. We've seen it work for other people. We use it. And if you don't have a mental health condition, I mean, you still have mental health. Everybody has mental health.
Exactly.
So this doesn't mean wait until you have insomnia or wait until you're anxious or manic to start.
Nope.
It. This is something that anybody can use. If you get stressed when you get an email, if you get stressed halfway through the day at work, if you get stressed in the first 10 minutes of work, I know a lot of people that, you know, it doesn't take half a day. It doesn't take until 5 o'clock to get stressed out. By 9:15, everybody wants to go home. And I just think to have something like this is such a tool to have in your belt. I mean, between this and meditation, you know, eating healthy, doing art therapy, I mean, these are all things that you need to add to the therapies that you're already using. If you're only going to the doctor and using medication, you need to add these things in order to, you can stop the problem with the medication and the therapist, but in order to start healing and living again, you know, surround it. Like you said, you surround the problem.
I know it's very, very true. I mean, who are we kidding? It's around every fourth American that has some kind of mental health struggle at some point in their lifetime. So because it's labeled with so much stigma, you know, there are so many people that are never going to admit that they have any issues, or they're never going to admit that they are struggling for a period of time. And I think that's what's that's why this is sleep and trying to promote taking care of your mental health is an uphill struggle, even though it of course has improved tremendously throughout the years. But yeah. I remember when I started this journey, I had several people say to me, "Now be careful when you start talking about this, because you know, you might either lose friends or people might start to think things about you, or you should be careful." And it nearly fueled me even more, because I was like, well, then I really need to talk about it, because then there are so many more that are suffering. So, and if we don't talk about it, it lives so well in the dark. I mean,
I felt the same way. I entered this mental health world blindly. I came into it and I did not know if it was going to go anywhere. I just knew that I had to start talking about it, because everybody wanted me to either go back to school or, you know, learn a trade, or, you know, like Joe, the writing and the mental health. I don't know if that's going to work out. You know, that's what it was from everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess, you know, but I can't even blame anybody else, because everybody that I know grew up in a world where you didn't talk about mental health. Mm-hmm. So I think that they were really just trying to protect me, but I feel just like you did, that only fueled the fire. I was like, wait a second, don't tell me I can't do something. And now every job I have, that's all I talk about.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's obviously that's on my mind daily. And I also feel, you know, for me, from where I was coming from as a parent, children don't always, very rarely have a very loud voice. And I owe this to my children and to all the other children that are out there that might have parents that don't use their voice and or can't use their voice. It's so super, super important. I remember when I was introduced to the word holistic healthcare in nursing school, and we were taught about how everything in the body goes together.
Yeah.
And that if you only symptom treat a couple of symptoms, then the other symptoms are still going to be there and they're only going to get worse and bigger. So I just, to me, it just baffles me how we don't cover every inch of it, because we are whole human beings. And in order for us to thrive and function in our society, we have to help everything. So it means that we have to have a calm mind. We have to try to get good sleep. And it should be okay to say, you know what? I can't do it today. I'm a little bit anxious. I have to take care of myself, or I have to go and go for a walk and feel nature a little bit and just have some calmness and quietness in my head.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Well, let me throw this out there. Do you know if insurance covers things like music cure?
You know, that's interesting. We actually, right now, we are doing a trial with a medical app called Adherent Health. They have a app called the MHL app, which is a medical health library. You can actually get a free download on iTunes on it. And we have MusiCure in there. Wow. And we are actually working with behavioral health and they're working on a drug, the Suboxone, for opioid addiction.
Yeah.
And we're hoping that this trial will actually prove that we can reduce the anxiety in patients, and especially for the opioid addicted, if we can use MusiCure as a co-therapy tool. It's not instead of the Suboxone, but it's just to get them on the patients on a regimen and
Maybe we don't have to up the dose every 3 weeks or something.
Exactly.
Let's keep it manageable and where they could still live.
Yeah. So my long-term goal with this pharmaceutical app is definitely to hopefully prove to the insurance companies that it can be used as a co-therapy tool, and then hopefully down the road it could be something that could be on the program for the insurance companies. Imagine if you were in the hospital and they could actually nearly prescribe it for you, and the hospital could build insurance company afterwards, just like you would do with art therapy. In a lot of psychiatric hospitals, you can go and take an art therapy class, right? Either you paint or you draw or you play with clay or whatever you do.
Right.
It would be really nice if it was part of the same, right? I have a friend whose daughter has anorexia, and they used Music Cure during the period of time when she had to eat to reduce the anxiety level while she was eating.
Wow.
Because food was her enemy. So it can be used in so many different ways. My oldest daughter actually said to me in June when they were doing the SOLs testing season for especially for my kids, always increases the anxiety level tremendously. But she said that she had listened so much to Music Cure during the day leading up to the test that she said, when I sat there and concentrated, it nearly sounded like I could hear the Music Cure in my head. So even when it wasn't playing, it's still kind of working. Yeah, but I would love to see it in the hospital setting. I would love to see it in the waiting rooms. As you know, when you come into a psychiatric hospital's waiting room before you go in and see the nurse, and before they clear you for admission, if that's the route you're taking, if you're not brought in by EMS, but especially for the family members that are sitting in the waiting room waiting for the opening hours where you can come and visit, versus if you had a family member that was on a surgical unit, their 24-hour visiting hours, right? You can come and go as much as you want. But when you sit and you wait in that waiting room, you're anxious, you're nervous.
Oh, it's the worst.
And highly likely, it's probably just the news or the weather channel that's on if there's a TV in the waiting room. So that just escalates your stress level even more. Now you're bringing that stress with you up to the unit to visit your loved one.
Right. I have a sick family member and I'm watching politics, right?
Yes. Yeah. So instead of actually visiting your loved one and bringing some calmness with you, you are actually visiting and bringing stress with you. And
I can't agree more with that.
Right. So, I mean, it sets a tone right there for the whole team, because who are we kidding? The patient is in the hospital, but you have to treat the whole family because it comes as a unit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you talk about mental health and kids, but also for adults, you know, your other family members, your spouses, whoever lives with you, whoever is surrounded by you, everybody has to.
The family's fear never helps the patient. And obviously the patient's fear doesn't help the family. I don't think I gave enough credit to what my family went through when I first started struggling. I just thought that I was the one with the illness. So,
yeah, of course. You know,
they don't get it and they're not struggling. But now that I'm on the other side and I have friends that have struggled and family members that have struggled, you know, it hurts me too to see somebody else, you know, hurting. And you're right. They feed off each other. And what an amazing thing it would be if there was something calming, you know, for the family.
I think it's just very important to recognize it, because you cannot prescribe the medication to the family member. But in the end of the day, after you've been in the hospital for X amount of days, the medical team are going to look at the family and say, okay, so you're ready to take him and her home. Here's a brochure. See you later. And then you're like, okay. And one of the research projects that a couple of scientists did with Music Cure, where they were measuring the international anxiety scale, they actually found out that 87% felt a lot less anxious and they fell asleep a lot faster. And the family members, this is what's interesting, the family members actually rated the stay in the waiting rooms and in the hospital setting as a 96% approval rating, because they felt that the Music Cure helped them too. So again, it's that full-on circle. It's the whole human that we have to treat, and a whole human comes with family members around them.
That's it. I can't even think of anything else to add to that. Why don't you let our audience know where they can find out more about you and register for Scandic Health and Music Cure?
Yeah, so our website is scandichealth.com. And on the upper right corner, there's a subscribe button. As a single user, you can subscribe for $17.99 a month. In that package, you get over 24 hours of a Music Cure library, the audio version, and we have the video version, and then we have the sleep program, and then we actually have a 25-minute meditation program. It's like a, they take you through a forest. There's no picture, so it's just audio, and there's the gentleman that's talking, and he takes you through the whole forest. So it's kind of like a meditation piece.
I might have to try that right after the show.
Yeah, it's wonderful, because the thing is, with the forest, for you, a forest might be different than what I think about, right? Because for me, even though I live in Virginia right now, but if I might think about a Danish forest, but if you live in Florida, maybe you think about palm trees instead. So, for example, it talks about the sunlight coming down through the trees as you're walking, it talks about the birds that you're meeting along your little walk. So it's like
essentially paint the picture.
Yeah, it's kind of like a guided imagery. So that's for the single users. For the larger clients, they can send me an email and we'll make a proposal, or depending on how large the facility is and what their needs are. And we have a couple of new programs that's coming up within the next month that's going to be more procedure programs for waiting rooms or doctor's offices that do small procedures. But that's on Scandic Health. I'm also on Twitter at Scandic Health. And I'm also on Facebook at Scandic Health. And you're welcome to email me or call me. There's a lot of people that sometimes just email me because they have questions, especially because I think because mental health has so much stigma attached to it, that sometimes it's easier just to shoot an email.
And I think a lot of younger generation is just using email and text these days anyway.
So I've had lots of conversation over email, especially with parents that wanted to know how they could use it and what kind of good ideas, and they have explained to me, you know, their unique situations. And so I'm really, really honored to be in this space, because I really feel that I can help make a difference.
Well, and I want to thank you. We're honored to have you helping our community, because this product is just amazing. And I don't even like to call it a product. It's really like it's a self-help, like, it's just amazing. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
You've got a writer out of words. You've done the right things. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And I want to thank everybody for listening. For the first episode of Hysteria Radio, I'm Joe Fusaro. And until next time, remember to keep the radio up and the hysteria down. Take care of yourselves and take care of each other. Good night, everyone. I think we did it.
Thank you, Joe.
I think we did it.
Thank you so much.
I might have to switch the beginning and the end. I feel like I stuttered a little bit, but
I think you did. I think you did awesome. This is the first time for me too. I will remember this forever, Joe.
And that was such a cool time. I mean, I could have talked all day, but I don't.